Now, we have a special guest for today's Dictionary of Sydney. Dr. Peter Hobbins is an historian of science, technology and medicine who teaches at Sydney's University. We spoke to him last year around about November about his book Quarantine Station Inscriptions called Stories from the Sandstone, and I'm proud to say and very pleased to say it just won the Community History Prize at the Premier's History Awards on Friday. Peter, very good morning to you.
G'day, Nick. Nice to be back.
Look, A, congratulations on that win. Absolutely amazing. And congratulations on a slightly different win. You went through hard quiz and actually won.
I did. And that was, you know, pretty fraught experience, as you can imagine, putting yourself up there and embarrassing yourself. But it was a hoot.
ABC's hard quiz. And I believe your special topic was venomous animals of Australia.
It's been an enduring passion of mine.
Well, we have enough. We certainly have enough.
We
Look,
do.
We are talking about someone who had a similar interest to that, James Samuel Bray, one of the amateur naturalists of early Sydney.
Yeah, James Bray was a pretty quirky sort of chap who, to me, is one of that whole string of strange but wonderful personalities that you see in 19th century Sydney. You've got John MacArthur at the start of the 19th century of Merino wool fame, and you've got Henry Parkes, newspaper proprietor and later Premier of New South Wales. They're all people who have extraordinary self-confidence, a blatant disregard for the sort of prevailing morals of their day, and just seem to press ahead and make something for themselves. But I think the difference is with James Bray, he never quite made it.
He certainly,
his performance never lived up to his own expectations. He's one of those sort of slightly poignant, sad stories, but he certainly had a fascinating life all the same.
What was Bray trying to do?
Look, Bray was born in 1849, so New South Wales was about to be transformed by the gold rushes. You know, the population takes off and the population particularly expands. And in those two decades, the 1850s and 1860s, you see an enormous spread of the suburbs and a loss of the earlier colonial culture and certainly of the earlier indigenous culture as well as local flora and fauna. So Bray, even as a small boy, but certainly as a teenager, loved the natural history of Sydney, but also its early Aboriginal pastures. And he'd go prowling around, particularly on the North Shore, but also out at Manly, looking for relics of our indigenous heritage, relics of wildlife, which he was quite happy to kill and stuff. But he also started to become more and more obsessed with, for instance, convict heritage as well. So he saw all these things as curios, as relics of the past that he could make a quid on.
And did he make a quid?
Not really. He tried. So what drew me to Bray in the first place was I saw a flyer once from Bray's Museum of Curios. Now, this is existed several times. He set up his first one in the mid-1880s, and it fell over. So he set it up again in the late 1880s, and it lasted several years and then fell over. And then finally, he just called his house Bray's Museum of Curios down in Woolloomooloo and operated out of there. But each time he was doing basically the same thing, which was selling all of these items. It would be skulls of Indigenous peoples from Australia and around the Pacific.
Oh, Lord.
All sorts of carved artifacts from Indigenous cultures from Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, as well as Australia. And then taxidermy specimens, old coins, convict chains, bits and pieces, watercolour paintings, anything he thought he could make some money on.
Now, cabinets of curiosity used to be quite popular. I mean, I don't actually know their history in Australia, but I know they were quite big in America and England. What was he getting so wrong about this? It used to be, I thought, a fairly decent way to make a buck.
I think the difference is in timing. That the cabinet of curiosities, you know, the idea that you'd collect all these weird and wonderful and interesting looking artifacts from around the place and plonk them all together in a picturesque way in a cabinet, was very 18th century. And it persevered into the 19th century. But by the time Bray was getting going in this area, in the 1870s and 1880s, it was seen as pretty old-fashioned and certainly not the pathway to scientific respectability. And that's also what Bray craved. Much as he was an entrepreneur and saw his museum partly as an actual museum but mostly as a shop, he also kept questing all the time, I'm going to name a new species. I'm going to find a new phenomenon. I'm going to come up with a new theory that makes my name in scientific circles. And he never did.
Poor chap. It sounds like he didn't mind which science, although he was quite interested in the natural sciences. I believe he had an interest in Australian flora and fauna.
Yeah, very much so. Look, I was drawn to him also because he was fascinated by snakes, as I must admit to being too. And I think, you know, anybody who's apologies for herpetologists out there, but anybody who's drawn to studying snakes and venoms is likely to be a slightly quirky character.
I'm comfortable with that. Yeah.
And Bray was definitely in that genre as well. That, you know, he loved going out in the bush and catching snakes. I've read lots of his accounts of actually how he'd go about that and popping in a bag. He actually cared for them quite well. He didn't necessarily kill them. And there's a wonderful sketch in one of his notebooks of the snake house he built in the back of his backyard in Woolloomooloo. And it's just lovely. You see in this little sketch, he shows where the sun is. So it points out that he's making sure the snakes can stay warm and bask in the sun. So he actually cared about snakes, perhaps much more so than anybody else in late 19th century Sydney.
That is quite lovely. I can't imagine that endears you to your neighbours, even in, you know, 1800s Woolloomooloo.
Correct.
Well, the full story is, of course, available on Dictionary of Sydney. Dr. Peter Hobbins, it's an absolute pleasure to chat to you again. Thanks for coming back in.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
Once again, congratulations on Stories from the Sandstone. An excellent book and a great award for it to grab.
Cheers.